It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, Found in Translation. One thing we've all gotten used to over the past couple years is testing ourselves at home for the COVID virus, translating an infection into a thin pink line that tells us to stay home or go about our day. But let's say you test negative and still have a fever that just won't go away. One day, you might be able to take another test at home so you could know immediately if you have a bacterial infection and need antibiotics, stat.
Oh, it would be amazing. It would be amazing just to know that at least as a patient, you don't need to go somewhere and deliver your sample in a place where you could get an even worse infection.
It's a long road to making research in the lab so user-friendly. And one of the people leading the way is this woman.
My name is Fatima Alzara Alatrakci. I'm a researcher within the intersection of molecular biology, micro and nanotechnology, and medicine. I'm also a founder of a company called Prediagnose, where we create sensors for the detection of bacteria.
In the future, you may have a version of Fatima's invention in your own home. For nearly a decade, she's been using her expertise in highly complex nanotechnology to watch and listen as bacteria cells communicate. Yes, bacteria talk to each other in their own microbial language.
Yeah, bacteria speak to each other. They can communicate. They send out signals to each other and they respond to these signals and they are able to coordinate their activities based on their communication.
But instead of words, the tiniest organisms on our planet communicate with signaling molecules.
They're always around, whispering, making secret plans, building armies with millions of soldiers. And when they decide to attack, they all attack at the same time.
Here's Fatima on the TED stage.
To coordinate all the functions bacteria have, they have to be able to organize. And they do that just like us humans, by communicating. But instead of using words, they use signaling molecules to communicate with each other. When bacteria are few, the signaling molecules just flow away, like the screams of a man alone in the desert. But when there are many bacteria, the signaling molecules accumulate, and the bacteria start sensing that they're not alone. They listen to each other. In this way, they keep track of how many they are and when they are many enough to initiate a new action. And when the signaling molecules have reached a certain threshold, all the bacteria sense at once that they need to act with the same action.
So bacteria use different messages to rally each other, to say, band together, or build a colony, or start a mutiny.
They are really smart, but we are trying to decode what their conversations mean.
So, okay, let's say that they do decide to attack, that they've been hanging out, they've been multiplying, and now they're thinking, you know what, we're bad, we're mean, we're nasty bacteria, and we're going to show off a little bit. How would that work?
Then they would all at once start producing something that will be harmful for the host or for other bacteria that they would like to get rid of. Because they would also, sometimes they are really dominating. They would really like to dominate the space they are in. And that would be secreting something that would kill the other bacteria.
And this is where Fatima's sensor comes in. She uses it to interpret these molecular conversations between bacterial cells and possibly predict what they're up to. In one trial, she listened in on the signals they were starting to send each other and used those early whispers to diagnose infections before they spread.
I followed 62 patients in an experiment where I tested the patient samples for one particular infection without knowing the results of the traditional diagnostic test. Now, in bacterial diagnostics, a sample is smeared out on a plate, and if the bacteria grow within 5 days, the patient is diagnosed as infected. When I finished the study and I compared the tool results to the traditional diagnostic test and the validation test, I was shocked. It was far more astonishing than I had ever anticipated. My device caught bacterial conversations in more than half of the patient samples that were diagnosed as negative by traditional methods. In other words, more than half of these patients went home thinking they were free from infection, although they actually carried dangerous bacteria. Inside these wrongly diagnosed patients, bacteria were coordinating a synchronized attack. They were whispering to each other. What I call whispering bacteria are bacteria that traditional methods cannot diagnose. So far, it's only the translation tool that can catch those whispers. I believe that the time frame in which bacteria are still whispering is a window of opportunity for targeted treatment. Together with doctors, I'm already working on implementing this tool in clinics to diagnose early infections.
Fatima, I just read that in 2019, 7.7 million people died of bacterial pathogens. I mean, that is over 13% of all global deaths that year. And then you found that using normal diagnosing methods, half of the patients in the study went home thinking that they were fine, but actually carrying dangerous bacteria. So if we can diagnose people early, would that change the way that we treat them?
Yes. So one of the big questions was, if we are able to detect that early, what does it mean for the patients? Do we then treat with antibiotics when we are in all other fashion not able to see the bacteria? So when we're not able to detect the bacteria with our routine techniques, what do we do then? Do we treat them? Is it okay to treat patients that early? What would happen to the patients if we do that? Would we develop resistance? All sort of questions started popping up just by the scenario of being able to detect early. If we understand their communication, maybe we're also able to diagnose better, diagnose earlier, and set in with alternative treatments that enables us to use way less antibiotics than we're doing today.
I wonder if you could just describe to me what your vision is for this technology, maybe 5, 10, 20 years from now.
Our vision is that in the short term, the tools that we create can be used at clinics. So they can be operated by the healthcare professionals. For example, when the patients come in during initial screenings, then they can use these tools to quickly get an overview of how the patient is doing. On the long term, we hope that it's possible for the patients to administrate this themselves. We really hope that if we can identify a group of really problematic infections and then work on a tool that only can detect them, then we're able to say, okay, if you have a surgery, if you're susceptible, then stay at home, measure at home, and then the results will go to your doctor. And then your doctor can take action from there. But at least you don't need to get in somewhere and be exposed to having an infection from the hospital or from another site where a lot of sick people come in.
And it all starts with decoding the language of bacteria.
Exactly. If we're able to understand them, then maybe we're better treating them, better diagnosing them. That's the whole concept. That's why we do this basic research.
That was inventor, microbiologist, and nanotechnologist Fatima Alzara Alatrakhti. You can see her full talk at TED.com.